For about 8 years, Kathleen and I worked at a place called Children's Homes Incorporated in Paragould, Arkansas. One of the aspects of my job was a wilderness therapist. Wilderness therapy involves experiential learning. That is, involve individuals in an experience and allow them to learn from that effort. The place where we did much of our wilderness training was in the beautiful Ozark Mountains in western Arkansas. My, my, what a teacher. Those mountains and the weather and the elements and the environment turned out to be on many, many occasions. Myself and three other men were in charge of that effort. We led those individuals and we walked miles and miles and miles up and down the hills of the natural state, Arkansas. There were occasions when we would be walking down a path and some of those young people wanted to go down another path. We'd look at them eyeball to eyeball and we'd say something like this: "Don't you dare go down that path." We knew that down that path was danger. Down that path was destruction. Down that path there may have been possible death itself. There was one path, if you walked it about a quarter of a mile or so, you'd wind up at a place called Black Hole. And if you took the wrong step down Black Hole, 95 feet later you'd hit mud right in the bottom of that place. A dangerous place. And therefore, we as leaders gave warning. Sometimes those kids would turn around and they'd look you in the eye and they'd say, "Well, why can't I go down that path?" And we'd do the best we could possibly do to give them an answer to that question. Now, you may be wondering, what in the world is Victor Eskew talking about walking the mountains of Arkansas tonight? Well, what I find in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, is a father giving a warning to his son. And guess what the warning is? Don't go down that path. That path is evil. And according to verse 19, it is the way of all those that are greedy of gain. There are many, many lessons that young people, yes, even older people, can learn from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19. And for the next few moments, I want us to focus our attention on that particular text. In fact, we're hardly going anywhere else in the Bible. We're just going to examine those particular verses. I guess you can guess the title of the lesson, can't you? Don't go down that path. Notice point number one. There is the immediate counsel of a father to his son in verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." There's his immediate counsel to his son. Young people, do those words sound a little bit familiar? No, you cannot go out with your friends. You know, those in positions of leadership, moms and dads, teachers, principals, elders, preachers, deacons, Bible class teachers, whatever they might be, we know that oftentimes the friends of our children are the very ones that are going to lead them to do something they ought not do. Solomon knew that, but I find it interesting that Solomon doesn't refer to these individuals as friends, does he? "My son, if sinners entice thee." That's a very strong word, folks, in the Hebrew language. You want to know what it means? It means criminals. Those individuals who are guilty. Those individuals who have been exposed to condemnation. Young people, learn a lesson. There are times when we need to move or remove the facade from our friendships. We need to see our friends for what they really, really, really are. Oh yes, I realize that we want to be accepted. I realize that we want to belong. I realize that we want them to be kind to us. But yet sometimes we've got to remove all the junk and we need to see them for what they are. They are just as evil as they can possibly be in some respects. We need to admit that and we need to acknowledge that about some of the friendships that we sustain. These are sinners in the sight of God. Now notice what they try to do. My son, if sinners what? Entice thee. That word means to seduce, to deceive, to lure, to persuade you. I don't guess anybody's friends has ever tried to do that to them, have they? Come on! Why don't you just go with us? Here's a good one. There is a bunch of us going so-and-so place. A bunch of us. Not just a couple. There's a massive group going to this place. We're all going down there. We're going to meet there about 8 o'clock. Why don't you just come down there with us? Now, don't be chicken. Don't be scared. Everything's going to be okay. We're all going to be together, and it's going to be just fine. I mean, you do want us to like you and accept you and associate with you, don't you? You see, they are pleading with that child's sense of belonging, aren't they? They entice you. They persuade you. They do everything they possibly can to lure you into things that do not need to be done. Now notice, what is the counsel of a father? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That word consent means do not agree to. Do not accept. Do not go with them. Teenagers today, young people today, adults today need courage. They need boldness. They need faith. They need conviction that will stand against the things that are wrong and evil in our world today. Our young people need to have the ability to stand up to their friends and they need to tell them, I will not do what you are going to do. I'm a Christian. I fear my God, I love my God, I love His Word, and I will not walk with you in this. Those are the kind of young people we need today. But you know, when young people hear those things from an old fogey like me, they begin to wonder, you know, does he really know what he's talking about? And sometimes they may ask the question, why? Why don't you want me to have anything to do with my friends? You're just trying to keep me from having fun. So Solomon in his wisdom proceeds, doesn't he? In the second point of this particular text, he talks about the inviting call of friends. If they say, come with us, there's the call, is it not? Come on. Join us. Be a part of our group. We want you to be a part of our group. We love you. We care about you. If they say, come with us, listen to what they're going to do. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. We shall all have one purse. Now, folks, There's two different things that these friends of yours are telling you in that text right there. Notice the first thing they do. They talk about their evil purposes, don't they? Let us do what? Let us lay wait for blood. Let us what? Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. You know what I find? I find that young people don't lie about the evil things that they're about to do. You know what? They just state their evil purposes. Oh, I know they don't do that to adults. Where are you going? They're not going to tell you where they're going. Well, we're going to go rob a bank, Mom. Be back later. That's not what they tell Mom. But they know in their mind exactly what they're going to do, don't they? And they tell the individual that. This is what we're going to do. But you see, you wonder in your mind, how in the world do they convince us to do those evil things? Well, you see, there's a other side of that coin, isn't there? There's not only the evil purposes, there is the exciting pay. Isn't that what they say? We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. You see, it's a two-sided coin. Young people, listen to me. When you start hearing double talk, you need to be aware of what your friends are telling you. When they start telling you, come on, let's go do this evil because this is the reward that you're going to reap, your ears had better start perking up. You see, what they're hoping is this. They're hoping that the reward is going to far outweigh the evil that you have to do. That's what they're hoping. There's a couple of things that you need to keep in mind. Number one, you need to keep in mind, wrong is wrong regardless. You need to understand that. Wrong is wrong. Evil is evil. Sin is sin. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. And point number two, there is no amount of reward that will ever, ever make wrong right. That will never happen. I don't care how much precious substance you find. I don't care how many houses you fill with spoil. If you do wrong to get it, it is wrong. Now, what are you talking about, Big? Hey, why don't you come on over here and go with us to the party? We got some beer, we got some alcohol, we got a few drugs, and guess what? When you get over there and you get in the middle of all that, it's going to make you feel better. You've been down, you've been depressed, you've been upset, you've been mad as a wet hen at Mom and Dad. School isn't going so well. You just broke up with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, and now here's a party, and all this mess is going on. Oh, yes, there's going to be beer. There's going to be other kinds of alcohol. There's going to be some drugs. Yes, there's going to be a little evil there, but guess what? You're going to feel so much better. Two-sided coin, right? Here you've been needing some rims for your truck. Yep. Been saving hard, been working hard. Hey, I tell you what. You want to hurry the process up just a little bit? You want to hurry and get those rims? Let's go down here tonight and let's rob that little convenience store. They close at 9 o'clock and I know exactly where they keep all the money. They don't make the deposit till the next morning. Let's just break in there, grab that money. Yeah, it'll hurt a little bit for them, but just think, you'll have new rims in 2 days. You see, they're telling you exactly what the evil is, don't they? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to break into a store. We're going to rob it and steal the money. They tell you exactly what they're going to do. But guess what? You can have brand new rims. Ooh, there's the payoff, right? Some of your friends say, hey, you know that guy that bothers you all the time? The guy that makes fun of you? Constantly talking down to you, thinks he's something. Why don't we do this? Why don't we go around the corner today, and when he comes around the corner, we'll just plaster him. We'll teach him a lesson. And guess what? he'll never bother you again. Ooh, boy, that sounds good. I mean, we're not going to hurt him too bad. Little bit of blood. Maybe one or two broken bones. Nothing real bad. And we'll teach him. And guess what? Tomorrow I can go to school and he won't bother me at all. A payoff, isn't there? Folks, let me tell you something. If you ever hear the two-sided coin, you better beware. It is evil as it can be. That leads us to the third point, doesn't it? Verse 15. Now, folks, in verse 15, we have almost a repeat of what Dad has already said to his son, don't we? Here we have an intimate charge of a father to his son. An intimate charge. He's repeating what he's already said. Have your parents ever done that? Do they ever say something two or three or four or five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 times, and finally you just get sick of it? Man, that's all they ever say. Yeah, that's all we ever say. One of the laws of learning is what? Repetition, repetition, repetition. If you ever got it, we wouldn't have to repeat it. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy feet from their path. He already said that, didn't he? You want to know what he's shouting just as loudly as he can possibly shout? He's shouting this, don't go down that path. Young people say, yeah, they're kind of right. I know those things are evil. I know those things are bad. But, oh, I hate that word. But, two things. I want to be accepted and, the rewards sure are good, aren't they? Hey, Solomon knew that. Solomon knew this child might be thinking that. So guess what he does? He doesn't stop. That's just like a parrot, right? They never shut up. They just keep on talking, don't they? Well, folks, he now gets into the fourth section of his lesson to his son. And guess what he talks about? He's talking about the incontrovertible consequences that you will face if you do what these people want you to do. Incontrovertible consequences. You cannot change them. They are going to happen. They will take place if you follow these individuals. There's three of them in these next three verses. Number one, you will become evil if you follow them. For their feet run to evil, and they lurk privily for innocent blood. What these people want to do, where they want to go, the things they want to engage in are just as evil and wrong as they possibly can be. There's two things these people in this text want to do. Number one, they want to rob others. And number two, they want to slay them. Folks, we're talking about theft and murder. That was a violation of the sixth and eighth commandment under the old law. You now become a transgressor of the will of the Almighty God. Young people, listen to me. This is important. Not many young people who begin to engage in wrong things ever believe that they're going to become what? They become. Do you know that? A young person who starts to drink alcohol, who goes out and parties with his friends on the weekend, slips off after school and grabs a few drinks, that young person never intends to become an alcoholic. He never intends that. A young person who begins to smoke a little pot. A young person who begins to get involved with other kinds of harder drugs. He never, ever, ever intends to become a drug addict. That young person who breaks into a store and robs it and then goes to another because he had so much fun and because there was so much reward. He never intends to be a criminal locked up behind bars. He never intended that. That little guy we were going to prove a lesson to, guess what? We beat him too hard. And there his body lay on the ground, lifeless. And guess what? I never intended to be a murderer. I never intended that. You see, you take the evil way, and guess what? You become evil. It's just that simple. Notice the second point. You will ultimately be caught. It's evil what you're about to do. It's going to make you evil. But guess what? You will be caught. I find it interesting that he states that in the form of a parable in this passage of Scripture. Surely, in vain, the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Now people say, what in the world does that mean? Well, you see, they used to hunt birds back in the first century. They used to hunt birds back in the days of Solomon. And guess what? They didn't have all the weaponry that we have today. You didn't go get a shotgun and have birdshot and unload on the birds. You had to catch them, though. Guess what they did? They would stretch up great big nets, huge nets, in between the trees. And guess what they do? They would wait for the little bitty birds to fly into the net. And you'd say, dumb bird. They could see the net. It was spread out there. Solomon says, as far as the bird is concerned, that net was spread out there in vain because it was spread and he still flew right into the middle of it. And they caught him. I believe most young people know that wrong is wrong. They've been taught from little bitty ages to know what's wrong. And you want to know what else? They know the consequences. They know that if I do this, bad things can really happen to me. But guess what? They don't care. They're just like that bird, aren't they? They flap those little wings, they see the net, and guess what they do? They fly right into the middle of it. Caught ya. Caught ya. I'm telling you what, your folks, they may appear a little ignorant, but they didn't fall off a turnip truck yesterday. They are a little bit smarter than you ever think they might be. And they know, folks, and they watch, and guess what? You persist in those bad activities, and you ultimately will get caught. No doubt about it. You will fly into the net. That leads to point number three. There are consequences to evil behavior. They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. Did you hear what he just said? He had said that these individuals were going to go on a rampage against others, didn't he? He said that they were going to lie wait for innocent blood. But guess what they're really doing? They are lying wait for their own blood. They're lurking privily for their own lives. The very evil that you intend to do upon others is going to return and it is going to be placed directly upon you. The individual is dead that you beat. And a few months later, you hear the death sentence. Scary, isn't it? You are the one who thinks that a few drugs and all will bring me freedom and make me feel good. And before you know it, you are locked into servitude to those illegal intoxicants and substances. Now you have become the slave. And life is worse than it was before you ever began. All you wanted was a little bit of money. All you wanted was a few things to purchase for yourself. So you rob a store, and the next thing you know, you are sitting 6 months in a jail cell for having violated the law. And maybe probation for the next 3 or 4 years. There's no freedom in that, folks. There's a man in the Old Testament to whom this happened. He's found in the book of Esther. A man by the name of Haman. Haman despised Mordecai, a prominent Jew in the king's court. He despised him because Mordecai would never fall down and give the praise and honor and adoration that Haman thought that he was due. He was counseled by his family, why don't you build a gallows? Why don't you hang Mordecai on the gallows? So he conjured up a story about Israel intending to get Mordecai in the process, but also rid the nation of all of these Jews. We know the story, don't we? You read the book of Esther, and in the end, Haman is hanged upon his own gallows. And Mordecai is exalted to the right hand of the king. Haman's position. You see, what goes around comes around. Young people, there are all kinds of evil ways out there, aren't they? All kinds of evil directions, all kinds of evil paths that you can choose for yourself. Your moms and dads, your spiritual leaders, your mentors, those who are knowledgeable, those who are concerned about you, those who, whether you believe it or not, really, really love you. You want to know what they're crying out. Don't go down that path. Please don't go down that path. But it is your choice, isn't it? I want you to remember three things that Solomon says in this text. Number one, those ways are evil. They're evil. Number two, those ways that seem so good and so nice and so promising are nothing more than false promises. And number three, the evil actions that you commit today, tomorrow, the next day, they will one day come back to haunt your life. You remember that before you make your choices. What are you saying, Vic? I don't need friends. No, we need friends. But we need good friends, folks. Not sinners. Not criminals. Not individuals who are going to lead us astray. And you want to know what? There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No. Not one. That's the friend you need in your life. Have you made him a friend by obeying him? Ye are my friends, he said, if ye do those things which I command you. He's commanded us to hear, John 8:24. Or to hear and believe, Mark 16:16. He's commanded us to repent of sins, Luke 13:3. Confess his name, Matthew 10:32. And be baptized for the remission of sins. Mark 16:16. Dear Christian, what about you? You know, it's possible for us, even after becoming Christians, still develop evil associations, isn't it? It's possible for adults to do that. And I've seen adults have some bad friends, you know what? Bad friends. Maybe we need to ditch those, and maybe we need to come back to our friend Jesus, repenting of those sins, confessing them, and ask God to forgive us. Won't we come as together we stand and sing?